So you're busting out the old mixer again, huh? For a lot of people, this is the only time of year when a mixer is actually necessary. For baking cookies, of course. But you know, when you only do something once a year, it's really easy to get out of practice. If you need help supplying delicious cookies for family, friends, coworkers, maybe even Santa, KCUR Central Standard has got your back. I'm Gina Kaufman, and today the food critics are here to tell us where we can find the best cookies in and around town. Tweet us your favorites. We're at KCURCST. Critics, good morning.
Good morning, Gina.
Jenny Vergara of Feast Magazine, what are your general thoughts about cookies? I mean, like, if you had a cookie mission statement, what would it be?
Cookies above all else, dessert-wise, in my opinion.
Okay, that's a very strong mission statement. Charles Ferruza of The Independent and Shawnee Mission Post, what about you?
You know why I like cookies? I mean, I love desserts, but when you get to be, you know, of a certain weight and age, really, really, you don't need a big dessert. You need some, just a little something sweet after a heavy meal.
You need a cookie.
You need a cookie. That's all you need, a little cookie.
And Mary Block, blogging about food at Around the Block, what is your overall sentiment cookie-wise?
Chocolate chip all the time. But unlike Charles, I have a hard time eating those chocolate chip cookies in moderation. Give me one, I'll have six.
Why do you think I don't buy them?
Okay, so, but chocolate chip is your cookie mission
yes,
statement.
But they could have toffee with them, or they could be chunks. They could be milk chocolate. They could be dark chocolate. I'm into the variety, but that's the basic cookie that I love.
It does seem like the invention of the chocolate chip was probably a real boost for the cookie generally.
I would say so, because who doesn't love a chocolate chip cookie?
All right. Well, I think how you eat a cookie is important. I happen to like a cookie served warm with a cold glass of milk. And I'm sure there are lots of places that serve cookies that way. The ones I happen to know of are Alamo Draft House and McCoy's Public House. But, I mean, do you guys eat certain kinds of cookies in a certain way?
Well, you know, I actually do. And it's more just kind of a throwback and an homage to my grandmother. So the chocolate cup cookie at McLean's, I serve on a plate after dinner with coffee, because that's how my grandmother served it to me years ago.
Tell me more about that cookie, because that's kind of a famous cookie locally.
It is a famous cookie, and I cannot not do a cookie list and have it on there. So I thought long and hard before I put it on there, but it's still one of my favorites. It's a salty pecan sandy style cookie that has a piped chocolate frosting on top, and it's pretty and it's delicate, and it's literally two bites and it's gone. And they talk about addictive. They are addictive. So, but my grandmother introduced me to them when I first moved to Kansas City years and years ago. And it's just like this great nostalgia and nice memory that I have of her. So, and I love the way they taste. That salty and sweet just does me in.
And what was that, on a plate with a cup of coffee?
Yeah. So after dinner, she would always bring like a little small plate that had two cookies, one for her, one for me. No more. I don't know where the rest of them, she hid the rest of them, but that was all that was brought out. And then coffee.
Charles, is there a cookie that you like to eat in a certain way?
Well, I mean, I just like to eat cookies, but if I have to be ritualistic about it, and I do like doing that, Jasper's has a cookie plate of Italian cookies on their dessert cart. And, you know, it may be the only restaurant in town that still has a dessert cart. And if I had my way, I would have actually every dessert on the cart. But, you know, because I'm trying to eat in moderation, unsuccessfully, I will just have that plate of Italian cookies, and with them I will have, you know, a cup of robust espresso and a little bit. They're really nice about this, you know, I can't eat a whole bowl or even a cup of Spumoni ice cream, but I want it, so they bring me like a little half cup,
a dollop
of Spumoni.
So, Charles, what defines an Italian cookie? Because Italian cookies are going to come up a few times on your list today.
They are. There are specific Italian cookies, like that little fig cookie, which has a name, and forgive me, I can't remember what it is. And I should preface this by saying I've never made any of these cookies, but I had Italian aunts that would send them to me. So that little fig cookie and Italian wedding cake cookies and iced cookies, biscotti, of course.
They're pretty colors, too, yeah, those Italian cookies.
The pastel colors, you know. And yeah, I mean, they're just a little bite of something you want.
I wonder, in general, about cookies this time of year. Are there holiday cookies that we like, not because they're good, but because we have always eaten them?
I would say molasses cookies would fit in that category for me. It is definitely a holiday cookie, and bakeries have them now in their stores. Well, I don't know that they do all the time.
Where could I find those? I mean, I love molasses cookies too, but I can't find them.
Well, one of them on my list is Brioche Pastry Shop. Have you been there yet?
No.
It's at 20th and Main. It's relatively new. All their cinnamon rolls and everything are made with brioche dough, so they're fabulous. But they make this soft molasses cookie, and it's new enough that it might not just be a holiday cookie, but it's the holidays and they have it. So
I would throw gingerbread in that mix too.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
You don't think gingerbread cookies are actually good? I would disagree.
Mm-hmm. Wait. You don't think they're good?
No, I do.
Oh, I'd love them.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're fine, but
I don't like ginger snaps because they're hard.
If I'm going to eat a cookie, I want something rich and lovely and decadent. So
well, you guys, we're going to have to hold that thought. When KCUR's Central Standard returns, we'll hear where Mary Block, Jenny Vergara, and Charles Ferruza want to send us in search of great cookies. Tweet about your favorite cookie in Kansas City. We're at KCUR CST, and we'll share some listener cookie recommendations, too. But first, there's another gift we'd like you to make. We're back. I'm Gina Kaufman, and today's Central Standard here on KCUR is a food show all about cookies, which, let's face it, is a really nice change of pace in our busy lives and among all the kinds of news that we have to share. Just cookies. So simple. So timeless. Charles Ferruza, welcome back.
Thank you, Gina.
And Jenny Vergara, welcome back to you.
Thanks.
And Mary Block is our other food critic this morning. Hi, Mary.
Hi there.
So I want to get some more recommendations. There are grown-up animal crackers on your list, Jenny, and I need to hear about those.
Natasha Mulberry Mott. So Tasha is the pastry chef. Obviously, her and her mom have the bakery. And it's not really open to the public, but you can certainly call and order her cookies anytime.
Wait, what do you mean it isn't open to the public?
So it's not like a retail shop. I don't believe that you can walk into.
Doesn't she have a holiday pop-up?
She does pop-ups where she invites people in, but it's not just like a bakery where you can walk in off the street.
So this is a special secret cookie opportunity.
Well, she's had many, many retail shops, and she's had a lot of success. And this summer, she launched a fantastic food truck. So I think this is just basically, you know, her way to continue to keep her catering going. But her adult animal crackers are like the life-size version of the small animal crackers with the pink frosting and the sprinkles on top. And who doesn't love sprinkles?
Can you taste the sprinkles?
Well, no. Who really tastes sprinkles?
I mean, I just wasn't sure.
It's the visual, right?
So there was texture.
I always thought animal crackers were utterly tasteless.
Right, but these are not.
Oh, okay.
These are lovely. She does a fantastic job. So I'm sure it's just a sugar cookie base, but she cuts them out in animal cracker shape. So if you have a kid or if you yourself are a kid, this is the cookie for you.
And there's something else that you were recommending from Natasha's Mulberry and Mott.
Yeah, she does this kind of naughty and nice boxed kit at the holidays, which I love. And it's basically the seven deadly sins or the seven heavenly virtues. And so it's a box of seven cookies. And depending on what sin or virtue you pick, the box is full of seven of these cookies. And so the one that always stands out to me is the, there's a glut, I think it's the glutton one. Oh my gosh. It's got bacon, it's got apples, it's got maple syrup. It's fantastic. So you can order those special from her. So you just basically pick your vice or virtue, and she'll make a box, a pretty box, too.
That sounds fun. Okay. And you are also recommending, depending on your pronunciation, French macaroons or French macarons?
Macarons. Yes.
Yeah. Tell us about your recommendation specifically, and I want to briefly talk about those generally, too.
Yeah, you bet. So there's a lot of, obviously, macarons that you can find around Kansas City, but I really love and recommend highly the ones at Anadore's. So Anadore's has a chocolate shop that's over in the Westwood neighborhood, but they have a pop-up on the plaza through the end of the year that's really dedicated to their macaron business. They do a seasonal one. Right now it's peppermint, but they also have about seven to eight different flavors, and I love them because the fillings aren't just flavored buttercream. They actually do some jellies and jams and caramels and some different fillings in them, which I really think punches up the flavor quite a bit. So
let's talk about the macaron trend, because I mean, they are very pretty and they are everywhere suddenly. What do you guys think about it?
Well, they started in France and they've moved east, and now they're
everywhere.
I think
weddings have propelled them. Their popularity at weddings, because you can have them in the colors of your wedding kind of made. I think that has been one of the trends that has kind of pushed them forward. But they're difficult to make. They're very time-consuming, so you have to kind of treasure each and every one of them.
And honestly, I think for the most part, I would eat the ones you recommended, mm-hmm. and also Andre's that have the chocolate inside. Those would be the exception to what I'm about to say. They're much prettier than they taste.
I agree. They're very light and airy, and you think that they're not fattening, and they still are.
Well, it's egg white, so it's kind of a meringue cookie, mm-hmm. and but it's the buttercream filling that kind of gets to me after a while. It just none of the fillings actually taste like much to me. So
that's why
with
I like
you.
The chocolate but, and the
yeah.
Andre's one.
But
so we're hearing
else.
That Andre's and Anadore's are exceptions to this general rule that they look better than they taste. So French macaron at Andre's and Anadore's. Mary Block, tell me about the espresso chocolate chip cookies at Dolce Bakery.
Well, in keeping with my theme of loving chocolate chip cookies, these are a dark chocolate, and they have espresso in them, and I make them. So it's just some people put actual coffee in it, but it's just I'm assuming it's just espresso powder. Just gives it a little extra flavor, another layer of flavor, and they're filled with chocolate chips, and they're chewy, and they're wonderful.
So you can't, like, start your day with this cookie and not need coffee?
Well, you certainly could. I have been known to have a cookie for my breakfast before.
So what do you think that the espresso flavor does for this cookie?
I do think it adds more flavor. You know it's coffee, but it's not a strong coffee flavor. It just kind of makes it a little more mocha-y, the chocolate and the coffee.
I always thought the
mocha-y.
Espresso really cut the sweetness of the cookie.
Well, if it depends how sweet they are to begin with, okay. But that's a good point.
So you're also recommending a peanut butter cookie at Tannin?
Yes, and I was searching in my mind for a cookie at a restaurant instead of just a bakery. And this is one that I love. They recently switched chefs, but I checked and it's still on the menu. It's a warm peanut butter cookie that comes to your table in a, maybe it is on a plate. Little bowl is what I'm thinking, and then it's got fudge in the middle. And you really eat it, you share it at the table and eat it with a spoon.
Do you have to share it?
You don't have to share it.
But is it large?
It's a two-person cookie, I would say, unless you're a real glutton.
We're hearing some love for that cookie from our listeners, too, on Twitter. We're at KCURCST, and that one's gotten an enthusiastic nomination there as well. Jenny, you're also recommending a peanut butter cookie.
Yes, I love a peanut butter cookie, especially a good, nice, soft, chewy one. And the first time I had it was at Genesee Royale. And now that Todd Schulte and Tracy Zinn have opened up Speak Sandwiches, you can also find these cookies there. But the one at Genesee that I had was actually two of the soft peanut butter cookies. And they're just the hashed, you know, kind of, I call it hashtag on top, you know, traditional peanut butter cookie. But it was filled with a lovely light peanut butter cream. And they literally made like a peanut butter kind of cookie sandwich out of it. And that was divine. But just the plain cookies can be found, I believe, both at Genesee Royale and now at Speak Sandwiches. So
Mary was recommending the single peanut butter cookie for two people, and you're recommending two for one person.
Yes. As I said before, cookies above all else.
It seems to me that the world might be divided into people who do and don't like peanut butter cookies.
Oh, my gosh.
I like good ones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you know. As long as they're tasty and sweet and have that, I'm a peanut butter fan.
My husband would always choose to have peanut butter. Yeah. If I add chocolate chips to them, then I love them.
Well, these cookies sound amazing. Our listeners are telling us also about boxes of tea cookies at Andre's, I believe. That seems to be something people are fond of out there. If there's a cookie you love in Kansas City, tweet us about it. We're at KCURCST. I'll share some of those recommendations on the air soon. I'm Gina Kaufman. KCUR's Central Standard will be right back with more of This Sweetness. Hello again. This is KCUR's Central Standard, and today we're just a couple of friends sitting around talking about cookies. Because they are delicious. We're compiling an official list of the best cookies in Kansas City, and you can contribute to that list by tweeting us. We're at KCURCST, and I know you have a favorite cookie. My guests are Charles Ferruza, Jenny Vergara, and Mary Block. Hi again, you guys.
Hello. Good
morning.
Charles and Mary, you have both recommended a biscotti at Lydia's. Before you tell me about this biscotti in particular, I need you to instruct me on how to properly enjoy biscotti, because I'm pretty sure I'm getting it wrong.
Well, it's a dipping cookie, isn't it, Mary?
It is.
Meant to be dipped in coffee or...
hot chocolate. Yeah.
Not meant to fall apart when that happens.
No.
So that's a...
That's why they're so dense, Jane.
Yeah.
Okay.
You mean hard.
Yeah. Yeah, hard.
Okay, so tell me about these Lydia's biscotti.
Well, I think it's more of a general term there. They've got a lot of different cookies, not in the traditional biscotti sense. Those are cooked twice, by the way, to make them really hard. You cook them once, and then you slice them, and then you bake them again. And that's not what they have here, but they have darling little cookies. They're chocolate, and there's pistachio, and there's sugar, and they bring them after dinner with your check, or maybe before dessert.
So does biscotti just mean cookies in Italian?
No, it's a particular kind of cookie.
Okay.
And when they're small, like they are at Lydia's, they're biscottini.
Okay. You know, well, so that's what they are there. And I love them at brunch. They have a brunch buffet, and you can have as many as you want.
I've watched Mary put them in her purse.
Charles, tell me more about these Lydia's biscotti.
Well,
these purse-worthy biscotti.
Biscottini. I love them because they're a very traditional Italian cookie. And they've got other traditional Italian cookies as a little dessert plate. You know, I mean, you could wait for the check to come, but you might get a cookie. But I like the little dessert plate. They've got miniature sweets and some seasonal cookies. And they're just a nice little end of the meal. I don't know, what would you call it? What's the New Orleans word for, like, you know, a little gift? Jenny, you know.
Oh, I do?
is it lagnappi?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Yes, of course.
It's just like a little something, you know, like a little present. And
I love that.
Yeah.
Charles, okay, so you are recommending, it seems maybe like it's an inadvertent theme that you are recommending collections of Italian cookies at a number of different places. Can you tell me more about your history with these cookies? Because we are Facebook friends, and I happen to have seen you mention your Aunt Jo.
My Aunt Josephine and my Aunt Cecilia, they were great cookie bakers. And I should preface this by saying that my mother could not bake. Never. And we never had...
An important detail.
Yeah. And my mother, we never had cookies, home-baked cookies. She bought cookies. Bad cookies. And so my aunts, the two aunts, they were very competitive. And so for almost all 32 years, until they passed away, that I was on my own and living in apartments, I would get, around holiday time, a shoebox from each of them filled with traditional Italian cookies.
Whose were better? Because it seems like that's kind of the point, right?
My Aunt Cecilia was the better baker. My Aunt Josephine always included a check with her cookies. So, of course, I liked those cookies more.
Is anyone else here making... Well, Charles, first of all, I mean, before we leave that, there's another Italian
yes.
cookie destination that you want to share with
and
us.
They are my favorite Italian cookies because they are so much like the authentic cookies from my late aunts. John David DiCapo, whose family, of course, ran Italian gardens for years and years. John David now has his own food business. And one of the best things I think he does is he and his mom make these traditional Italian cookies, like those little fig cookies. And you can get them at Hy-Vee or Cusantino's, or you can go to his webpage. John David Capo, his Italian webpage. And they're really, you know, I don't bake. I don't want to bake. I'm turning into my mother, actually. So you could order them and have them sent places, you know, to my siblings. And they pack them beautifully, and they come, and they are the perfect cookie to have with a cup of coffee in the morning, Mary. Cookies I like to have in the morning, and especially the little fig cookies.
So Charles is recommending John David DiCapo's Italian cookies, both for gifts and for breakfast.
Absolutely.
Well, is anyone else here recommending cookies based on something that harkens back to a family baking tradition?
I bake a lot of cookies that my grandmother baked. But I can't, I haven't looked for them around town.
Because you bake them yourself.
I bake them
myself.
But
what are they?
Well, the thumbprint cookie that has strawberry jam inside. And you can get it with fig jam or whatever. And a lot of them, bakeries, I think, make it a little bit more fancy. But I just stuck my thumb in there and put some homemade jam. And I still, every time I taste that, I go back to Christmases.
I'm getting ready for a cookie exchange right now with some friends. And I've been making cookies every night for 3 nights in preparation for this.
Do you have a favorite cookie that you make?
Well, you know, imagine the pressure, right? So as a food critic on Central Standard, and you get invited to a, you know, and a food writer, you get invited to a cookie exchange. You can't just whip out, you know, plain old chocolate chip. It's got to be something a little impressive. So scouring my cookbooks, I decided to make the state cookie of New Mexico, which is called biscoquito, I think is what it's called. And it's really an interesting cookie. They've turned out really delicious. I've learned an awful lot making them.
Are they like biscotti?
No, not at all. They're basically a kind of a sugar cookie that has anise seeds that are ground to a powder. And then you basically cut them out in the shape of stars, and then it's cinnamon sugar that you dust them with. And so it's kind of like a really upscale snickerdoodle.
Hmm. Well, we've got to go to one more break this morning. Welcome back. I'm Gina Kaufman. I'm here with Mary Block, Charles Ferruzza, and Jenny Vergara, and we are talking about cookies because we love them. And we're getting some tweets from our listeners. We're at KCURCST. We've got one of our listeners recommending any and all cookies at Ashley's Bake Shop at Pride's. Anyone had those cookies?
No, but she's a great, great baker. I've had pies, I think, that she's made. But Jenny, we need to go and have cookies.
Yeah, I haven't. I am sadly lacking in getting in there and trying it yet.
Well, that's an eager recommendation from one of our listeners. And we have a listener asking if anyone's grandmother made bourbon balls.
My did. And my grandmother. That was, of course, my non-Italian grandmother. She was famous for her bourbon balls. And I noticed that as she got older and kind of more decrepit, that her bourbon balls, I think she had less of a control of the bourbon bottle, because her bourbon balls were absolutely potent. You took one bite and, you know, you were drunk for days.
My grandmother Betty actually made a lot of cookies with a lot of different kinds of booze. And she'd send us home after Christmas with a big box. And my parents would sit in the front seat and they'd eat all of them to figure out which ones had booze. And the ones that didn't have booze would get handed to the back seat for us to enjoy.
With the bite taken out.
With the bite taken out.
Mary, you are recommending some cookies from Heirloom Bakery. Tell me about those.
Well, Heirloom Bakery has wonderful pastries, but people should know they also have great cookies, and they rotate what they have. And I think at this time of year they maybe have some that are more Christmas-like. But I love the Pepita sea salt and double chocolate chunk cookie, and it's a chocolate cookie, and it's got pepitas, which are pumpkin seeds, and the sea salt. You know, salting your cookie on top is a big thing now. And it's great, especially with the chocolate.
And you're also recommending a cookie from Murray's. Are they open right now?
No, they just closed last week. They'll reopen in March,
season, yeah.
Just for the season. They go somewhere warm for a few months, like we all should be doing. But they have, in addition to the ice creams, when they are open, they have some fabulous cookies. I like the Totally Toffee cookie, which is kind of like a Heath Bar cookie. It's got the toffee crunch, and it's got milk chocolate. And what I love about their cookies is that they're all chewy. Mm-hmm. They're not crisp. They're all chewy. Great chocolate chip.
So you're a chewy cookie person.
I'm a chewy cookie person, definitely.
Is there any such thing as a cookie person who, like, prefers the harder cookie? Does that exist?
Oh, yeah. The crisper, they're out there.
Except ginger snaps. They're horrible.
If I'm eating an oatmeal cookie, I like them crisp.
No, wait. You like gingerbread, but you... No, you like ginger snaps, but you...
No, I don't like ginger snaps. No, I love ginger cookies. Like
but
soft
gingerbread
ones.
You like.
I adore gingerbread.
And Mary likes hard oatmeal cookies?
Yes.
Weird.
I know. And I don't know why that is. Maybe I just don't like soft oatmeal.
You haven't had a good one.
Well, and so, but you, okay, you do like the Totally Toffee cookie at Murray's, and we're going to have to wait until spring to try that one if we haven't already.
But mark your calendar.
Something to look forward to. And Jenny, tell me about the chocolate chip walnut cookies at Happy Gillis.
Chef Abby Jo Eanes, who is Josh Eanes' lovely wife, is a pastry chef. And I don't know if many people really realize that, but she makes the best cookies at Happy Gillis that you can buy that go along with your lunch or breakfast or whatever you're having there. And even, you know, I recommend it for breakfast. Cookie and coffee there would be great. But she does really nice, big, kind of larger sized cookies that are really soft, made with great ingredients. And right now they're doing a chocolate chip and walnut, which is what I'm recommending, which I love. I'm with Mary. I love a chocolate chip cookie. The walnut's a little different. I'm used to pecan, but it adds a nice kind of note in there. They're also doing a molasses cookie and a butter cookie right now for the holidays. So.
Can we agree that I think any cookie that does not have butter as an ingredient should never be made.
Oh, you know, I could regale you a story. So the cookies that I'm making right now, the new state cookie of New Mexico is made with a pound of lard.
And, well, I'd like that too.
And they are flaky and fabulous, and I have learned the benefits of lard making them. So I can't go there with you, but I understand why you say that.
Yeah. All right, Jenny, this is the second time you have mentioned the state cookie of New Mexico, and I want our listeners to know that I spent the time of our last break furiously searching the internet for whether Kansas and Missouri have state cookies. I can find none so far, but the internet may not know about it. So if you know about a state cookie in one of our states, you should tweet us about that too. We're at KCURCST. But it turns out Missouri has a state dessert, which is ice cream.
Well, just I'm all over
general?
That.
Yes, ice cream in general is the Missouri state.
We have
state
a lot of
dessert.
Cows here.
Well, and in keeping with the theme of today's show, I would say ice cream sandwiches are fabulous and so easy to make.
You know, my gosh, you're right.
I make them for dessert for people for when they come over, and they love them. And it's just two cookies
and you can
and
make
you put
them
ice cream
advance,
together.
Make them in advance and freeze them.
Right.
And pull them out whenever you want them.
Exactly.
Where would you go in Kansas City for an ice cream sandwich?
Oh, I just had one.
I like... what's the food truck Natasha has? She did them all summer long using macaron cookies, which was kind of interesting, actually. So Cirque du Sucre is the name of her
Cirque
food.
Cirque du Sucre. Mm-hmm.
Does, I think the new ice cream shop in Waldo on Warnell.
Betty Ray's
has ice cream cookies.
That's a good one.
Yep.
Well, you guys, our time is up, but thanks so much. Charles Ferruza of The Independent and Shawnee Mission Post, Jenny Vergara of Feast Magazine, and Mary Block of Around the Block. I'm Gina Kaufman, and this show is produced every day by Matthew Long Middleton, Sylvia Maria Gross, Jen Chen, Andrea Tudhope, and Suzanne Hogan. Our theme music, which you aren't hearing today, but you usually would, is by Spoonbender Labs.